Our scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, and verses 14 through 16. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. I'm sorry, I'm getting a bit of an echo. Yeah. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will hear my voice. And there shall be one flock with one shepherd. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Sweet shepherd of Israel, crucified and risen Lord, open our eyes to see wondrous things out of your law, and open our ears to hear your voice and answer your call. Amen. Now, this indeed is the first Sunday of Lent, a time to prepare us for Good Friday, when we meditate on the Good Shepherd's laying down his life for us as sheep, and for Easter Sunday, when we celebrate his taking up his life again to give us life and to give us life in the full. Does that excite you guys? I was just so uptight the first hour, I'm just going to be myself. Please feel free to be yourself. Lent is an intensely personal time, a time to reflect on the intensity of Jesus' love for us as individuals, a time of confession and recommitment, a time of renewed joy in our salvation, a time to embrace afresh the call he has given us to serve him in our homes and on the front line where he has placed us. Now, today, we also celebrate International Student Sunday. That is, we are what our branding says we are. Look on your bulletin. We are an congregational, something evangelical, something international church. On this day, we celebrate the fruit of the death and resurrection of our Good Shepherd. That is a vast host of men and women and children from around the globe who have responded to the Lord's call and have joined the flock. The suffering servant, the Son of God, has seen the fruit of his suffering and is satisfied. Isaiah 53, Christ the Paschal Lamb has taken away the sins of the world. Therefore, we experience Lent not only as intensely personal, committing ourselves and our families to him, but also intensely international as we share sweet communion with the body of Christ around the world. Now, this morning, we have Yukari from Japan, Ellie from Southeast Asia, and Sam from India. They're going to be sharing their stories with you. Now, as all God's good people, they are the fruit of Christ's passion on the cross. Now, before we turn it over to Yukari and Sam and Ellie, let's look at the meaning of what Jesus says. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. Now, from Scripture, we understand this other sheep refers to Israel, the people of Israel, the Jews. And the other sheep are most of the rest of us, Gentiles, that is, non-Jewish peoples, which incidentally is, yes, as I said, most of us right here. Now here Jesus prophesies that this good news, which he is sharing with his Jewish friends, will spread out through them, through Judea, to Samaria, until the ends of the earth. Now probably, Jesus had one specific scripture in mind, Isaiah 56, verse 8, which says, "The sovereign Lord declares, he who brings the exiles of Israel, I will bring still others to them besides those already brought." Now, Jesus says these newly gathered Gentile sheep will become one with the Jewish flock, and he will be their shepherd. As our personal and all-powerful God sent the person of his own Son so that we may obtain fullness of life, so Christ sends us as persons, as people, as friends to his other sheep, that they too may inherit life and enjoy him, as the confession says, enjoy him forever. Didn't Jesus say, "As the Father sent me, I send you"? Pat, as you hear the testimonies of Yukari and Ellie and Sam, listen to the voices in their lives through which the shepherd called them, the voice of a mother, the voice of a friend, of a father. And please listen also how God has used their own voices and lives to call others into a living relationship with himself. Yukari-san.
My name is Yukari, and I am from Japan. This is my fourth year studying in Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. And I am a bit nervous today because you are not looking Asian. In Japan, everyone should look like this. But I am so fascinated at how we all look very different. And I am so excited, I'm so happy to be here this morning, because we are all look different, but I see everyone here is the sheep called by the same shepherd. We are all sons and daughters of God through the faith in Jesus Christ and sheep of his pasture. Every sheep has its own different timing, place, life stages and occasions and circumstances. But now, everyone is at the same conviction here today that I am going to listen to his voice, my past shepherd's voice, this morning and get together here. It is a great privilege for each one of us that there's a good shepherd who loves us and who calls us and who calls other sheep by calling us to invite them. This morning, I would like to share some story of a sheep listening to the voice of Christ in my life and the lives around me. I was born and raised in Japan. Japan has no official persecutions for Christians, but Christians are extremely few. The most prevalent data says we are 0.5%. But another data I recently heard said 0.22%. That means that we are in between 99.5% to 99.8%. The reality is in between these two numbers. An average pastor's age in Japan is in between 60 and 70 years old. This year I heard that this is 64 years old. And every year, Bible schools are losing students and churches are closing. In the last decades, politics is leaning towards more and more in a fundamental side, and nationalism is used religiously. And living in that country, however, I would still like to confess that with confidence that Christ is the only savior of Japan. Our Lord has never forgotten us, and never keeps us from blessing us, but is powerfully at work and calling and equipping the sheep in his flock and making the field ready for the reaping for the harvest. And throughout the history, he's blessing, calling, and increasing new sheep in Japan and in unexpected ways by sending us not only missionaries, but also ordinary people, especially those who are not Japanese, and using the places that are not in Japan. This happened to my parents first. God personally met my parents where they did not expect. My father was from a very traditional Buddhist family. When he was a freshman in college, at his English club activity, he met an American member in that club who happened to be a missionary. Happened to be. One day in the summer, he took him to a Christian camp that other Japanese Christian college students were gathering. There, he was expecting to improve his English, but instead, he heard the gospel from a fellow Japanese Christian student, and he accepted Christ. And since then, he joined Campus Christian Fellowship and went to seminary. And after graduating, he served as a pastor till today. My mother, likewise, also met an American missionary, but in an unexpected way. She's from a remote, so-called like podunk countryside. She loved movies, but had never seen the real Westerners. And one day after high school, she was wondering if there's anyone non-Japanese that she can actually meet. So she decided to ask the police if there's anyone in that area. Then she called 911, and the police somehow helped her to connect an American missionary family. So she got to know this American missionary family, and thanks to their loving and prayerful dedication to my mother, several years later, she confessed her faith and became a believer. They raised me in a joyful and loving church family since I was born. I did not have a single fellow teenage Christian friend besides my sister when I was in school. But I was happy being in a Christ-centered community as one family with our beloved church members. My faith was especially challenged when the short-term mission team of Campus Crusade came every year from South Korea. They treated me and my sister as little sisters and prayed for us by laying hands every year. They showed us how life with this shepherd is wonderful and precious with their lives. When I personally confessed my faith when I was to Christ in my college year, I was very fortunate to have my role model like them. And their influence was also one of the major reasons my church became vibrant afterwards. These committed missionaries' work for decades not only gave impact to our church as a whole, but also stirred my faith consistently. Just like these American and Korean Christians in Japan, I see God sending his sheep all over the place to call more sheep. My church back in Japan started growing powerfully and rapidly, especially through college ministry and language ministry, like last 10, 15 years. But the biggest ministry is for young mothers who have little children. This is a very interesting ministry because I saw this chain of calling stemming from one mom. Once a mother come to Christ, she brings her children, and once the children goes to church, their father follow the children to church because they don't want to be home alone on Sundays. And once the whole family becoming a Christians, then the grandparents join to hang out with their grandchildren because they're often their only grandchildren. They are not missionaries or parents, pastors, but ordinary mothers, ordinary students, ordinary businessmen, ordinary friends, And those who are called by the shepherd first. And another interesting calling of the sheep that I've been experiencing now in Park Street Church is that Japanese people here in Boston are very open to gospel. Just like Julie introduced that how English class has a lot of Japanese students, there are a lot of Japanese people living in Boston. During my last year, 4 years I've been here, 4 years, I witnessed at least four Japanese brothers and sisters coming to Christ in Park Street International Fellowship. And three has already got baptized, and one is preparing for getting baptized soon. They confessed their faith and live as believers, and some went back to settle in churches in Japan. I also see other Japanese students who had never heard of the gospel come to our fellowship and be open to faith. Some of them started going to church in Japan as well. This number and this phenomena is absolutely unbelievable for the Japanese. The Lord has been faithful to our prayer. He's keep calling and bringing his sheep out from Japan to Boston, and they start hearing his voice here. And they're becoming one flock with one shepherd, as it is written in the Bible. It is really actually happening in this city of Boston. Mission field of Japanese people, you don't have to go to Japan because they are coming by itself, and the field is ready for the harvest here in Boston. I just wish that there would be more people who can reach them at their work and as their friends. In this Lenten season, I pray that sheep in this blessed flock, especially those who are not Japanese and those not are in Japan, like most of us here, would be sent to their respective places to invite other sheep to this blessed life of faith in Christ.
Good morning. My name is Elle, and I was born and raised in a Muslim majority country. I'm ethnically Chinese, and I grew up in a Buddhist family. Today, I would like to share my story of how my family and I were once lost, but we were eventually found and led to the Great Shepherd through a few Christian friends who had a permanent perfume on them, which was the sweet fragrance of Christ. Because of time, I will only be able to share one event that left a significant impact in my family's life. Both my brother and I had severe childhood asthma, and there was once when my brother got extremely ill and he was hospitalized. Out of desperation, my parents remembered this Christian friend and requested for prayers. He went the extra mile by spending the night with my parents in the hospital, praying for my brother while his wife took care of me. My brother got miraculously better the next day, and that was one of the turning points in my family's spiritual life. They eventually came to Christ, and one of the most prominent positive changes was in my parents' marriage. My parents used to quarrel a lot, and my mom would just leave the house. But when Christ became the center of our family, we got a taste of what it meant to be overdosed with love. When Christ changes the life of one, there is a ripple effect, and I saw that in my parents' lives. My mom works as a high school teacher, and she has led many students to Christ, including a Muslim student. And the family friend who led my family to Christ eventually left his engineering job, and the Lord used him to raise up a church planting movement with missionaries in approximately 30 countries in over 120 locations worldwide today. God is using ordinary men and women to be the hands and feet to the different nations, and not even age can stop the work of God. Just last month, my parents and their life group members, who are all above 60 years old, they actually went on a short-term mission trip to visit a newly pioneered house church in a neighboring country with the highest Muslim population in the world. My journey with the Lord has been like a roller coaster ride. There were times where I felt really ready to go to the ends of the earth to proclaim His name. However, there were also moments where uncertainties and discouragements would just be so overwhelming. However, it was during those times when I really grew in my personal relationship with Him and was really like clinging on for dear life while taking a roller coaster ride. Today, I would like to share a snapshot of this journey. Isaiah 55 has always been very personal to me. It resonated very much with my life, and it was also a reflection of what God has been doing and what He is going to do in my life. I would like to just share verses 3 to 5 with you. It says, "Give ear to me and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor." I had no idea where the nations you know not was. All I knew was that I was attracted to cross-cultural ministry. So that was the starting point for me. During my undergrad years, I was blessed with the opportunity to pioneer a student group reaching out to African students who came to my home country to pursue the education. After graduation, through medical missions, I was again blessed with opportunities to reach out to indigenous tribal people groups where the gospel was not known. Another precious learning experience for me was to witness the explosive expansion of the gospel through the heart language of the different people group. I was involved in the leadership of a Chinese-speaking church, and one day I actually noticed that there were two non-Chinese-speaking sisters in our midst. So I approached them, and we tried very hard to help them feel at home by translating the sermons and the songs into a language which is common to all of us. But then I still feel that it wasn't home for them. So I had this conversation with one of the sisters, and we talked about the idea of pioneering a group among her own indigenous people group. And it was a real blessing to be able to disciple and equip them to reach out to their own people group. And the rest is history. Just a few months ago, I received news that a few of them has actually just released a worship album in their own native heart language. And it's not translated versions of the worship songs from the West, but it was songs that represent their identity and their culture in the body of Christ. And that was really, really amazing. I eventually came to the US for grad school, and during Urbana 2012, I got drawn to this fresh, unreached people group. I was encouraged by missionaries to take up the perspectives course, and that turned my world upside down, for the better. One of the chapters on the readings was on apostolic passion, which is the desire to live a deliberate, intentional choice to live for the worship of Jesus in the nations and to dream seeing the whole earth being covered with the glory of God. As I was reading this, visions of many Muslims flooded my mind, and that was the moment of revelation. I now knew what the nations you know not was. In fact, that happened exactly a year ago, and today I'm still amazed by the many friendships that God has provided me with. When our hearts are ready, God will lead us to the harvest field. One of the highlights in my life right now is to spend time with my different Muslim friends every week and to love them with all my heart, and I'm still praying for opportunities to be able to do a discovery Bible study with some of them. To end my testimony, I would like to share an experience which really drove me to my knees in prayers. So I took Dr. Martindale's class over the summer, and part of the readings was to study the Quran. As soon as I received it in the mail, I started flipping through the pages, and the very first words that I came across was in the opening chapter, which is also the opening prayer for the Muslims. I'll just read part of it. It says, "Guide us in the straight path, the path of those whom thou hast blessed, not of those against thou art wrathful, nor of those who are astray." At that very moment, I was reminded of the verse from John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Every day, 1.6 million Muslims are praying to their God, asking Him to guide them in the straight path and not be led astray. Some of them may be our colleagues, our friends, our neighbors. And here we have the answer to the cries of their hearts. And that answer is found in Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd. The Muslims are unreached for a reason, but they are definitely not unreachable. They are like sheep who has gone astray, but the chief shepherd is calling them come back to him. Are we willing to lead them back to the chief shepherd?
Good morning, church. I'm Sam Perley. I'm a graduate student at MIT, and I do research in synthetic biology. And I really thank God for his manifest presence that fills me when I do my work and research, which transforms my own time in the lab, an act of worship. I really thank God that he brought me to Boston, made me part of this wonderful church community. Thank you all for welcoming me, sharing your lives with me, and counting me as part of your own family, many of you, especially Pastor Stewart. And I also thank God for his word, which is so inspiringly being preached here, and this has blessed me quite a while I was in Boston, and I still am. And I was born and raised in India by two wonderful parents in the city of Hyderabad, both of whom serve as pastors following God's call there. And growing up in that particular family, in that pastoral family, has left an indelible impression in my own heart, seeing their own faith and passion and obedience to the call of God through which they have served God. And God, amidst a lot of hostility and persecution, was faithful to the calling with which he has called them. And and for me, it was a great privilege seeing their inspiring faith, but at the same time, I must say that I had an atypical experience growing up in India as a Christian. You know, India is vastly Hindu. It's about 86% Hindu and about 10% Muslim. And so I had a lot of these non-Christian friends that I had, and I wanted to relate to them. I didn't want to be different. I didn't want to be separated from them. I wanted to be assimilated. But it was hard. You know, I remember going to high school, and we have these roll calls every day. You know, the teacher is taking the attendance, and, you know, it'd be something like, Raj, yes, ma'am. Prakash, yes, ma'am. Kumar, present, ma'am. Samuel, David. And I used to feel so different. I'm not part of this this group of people here. And so it was what was going on in my own heart. You know, I still see God is amazing, but at the same time, I was not fully open to the idea of letting Jesus be my Lord and following him with all my heart. And I was having a conversation with my mom, which she initiated, and she was led through God's Spirit, and she started confronting me. This was when I was 16, and while she was doing that, God's conviction just came over me. I was convicted of my own depravity, and God's grace filled me, and I accepted Jesus as my Lord, and I decided to follow him with all that I am. And a long story short, so I came to Boston. I'm involved with the ministry here at Park Street Church. I serve on the prayer team. I'm also very actively involved with the campus ministry at MIT. And I just wanted to share a couple of stories that I felt like were was God working through me and in me and around me. One of them is... So approximately a year ago, me and a bunch of small group friends at MIT, we decided to do a group called a group investigating God. It's kind of funny, right? MIT folks think that they investigate God, but that was an outreach effort that we did to be able to break through some of these intellectual barriers that people at MIT have that prevents them from coming to know God through God's work. So we started this group, and one of the persons that was part of this group is a very dear friend of mine from a long time ago. I'll call him B, and I've known B for a while. You know, we are from the same hometown, and the first time we met was at a local math and science competition, and just we kept meeting each other at similar occasions, so we became friends, and we ended up going to the same college. And then we came to grad school to MIT, and I've never been able to have these conversations of faith with him, though he's such a good friend of mine. But GIG was a great opportunity for me to invite him. And then, you know, it sparked all these conversations of faith. And you know, he just graduated. He moved on. He's now a faculty at Kellogg University, at Kellogg Business School with Northwestern University. But we do have these conversations over phone and whenever we visit. We will be doing a GIG again, which is actually starting next Sunday. So please remember us in your prayers. And another story that comes to mind is a friend of mine. He's a postdoctoral fellow in our lab, and he comes from Israel. He grew up in his Nazareth and was born there. And then he comes from a very secular Jewish perspective. He's a scientist. And I've had a lot of conversations with him regarding faith for over the span of 2 years. And then at one point, I remember reaching a stalemate in our conversation. You know, both of us were not going anywhere. And I remember praying, God, if you don't speak to R, like, I don't know how he's going to come to faith. And sure enough, God did speak to him. There was a point in time where he fell sick, and he didn't come to lab for a week or so. And one Sunday evening, I walked into lab, and I see him there, and I say, hey, R, like, we haven't seen you in the lab for a week. You know, have you been? I heard you got sick. And he said, yes, Sam, I got sick. But Sam, does God speak to you? And then I was so surprised. Yes, but why are you asking this? And he was saying that, you know, while he was sick, he couldn't fall asleep. And then somehow he heard this voice saying, Jesus, Jesus, like a whisper in his heart. And then he woke up, you know, he started Googling for Jesus and found the sermons online that he started listening to. And then shortly after, we started doing weekly Bible studies in our own lab and looking at scripture. And God's been doing great work in his life, you know, bridging all the intellectual barriers he has, and also a lot of cultural barrier he has in coming to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. And he's about to finish up his time here in Boston and return to Israel to become a faculty at Technion in Haifa. But by God's grace, we found a great Messianic Jewish church that meets right in Technion, and he'll be going there. And thinking about all of this, I'm kind of reminded of what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10. He writes saying, how are they to believe in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And seeing all this huge harvest around us, we wonder, you know, sometimes we are like, well, you know, people have heard about Jesus, you know, they've heard about this God of the Bible. But let me ask you, did they hear it in a way that produces faith to believe? I've come to believe that it's not mere proclamation of the gospel alone, but testimonial lives that live amongst them, that communicate with them, and demonstrate that the true sustainer of all creation is God himself. And church, I want to challenge you that maybe we can be such shining lights in this darkness around us, and we can do that together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank God for Korea's crusade. Two requests. First, that you'd pray for our dear Jewish friend returning to Haifa and be going off to Kellogg School, and also the students of Wally and Julie. Now, I wanted to share one reason why it's so urgent for us to pray. Now, many of the international students who come to Boston are from places where Christians are being repressed and oppressed, from places where the church for which Jesus died is under siege, where it is culturally taboo and strictly illegal to gather as a church. What about our church? Are we going to be afraid of these students from these places? Are we going to treat them as threats? Or are we going to look to our shepherd in prayer until he shows us simple ways to welcome them as friends? Dear friends, a word about sharing ourselves and our faith with others. As followers of the Lamb, we do not have a hidden human agenda to impose on anyone, but rather an open divine command to obey. And this is the command, Leviticus 19:34. Hear, O Israel, you shall love the alien in your midst, because you too were aliens in Egypt. I am the Lord, your God. Love begins with prayer, the prayer of faith that blossoms into action. As the apostle says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Galatians 5:6. A second request to consider. Please carefully consider whether God would have you be an ESL teacher or an academic English teacher. Another option is to be a mentor to one of our Christian International students in the areas of your profession. Now, many of our Christian International students, like Elle and Yukari and Sam, are members of Park Street Church, and they are passionate about serving in this congregation, which they love. They are eager to pray and partner with you in extending God's lavish welcome to the international students and scholars streaming into Boston who do not yet know the Master's voice. Now, they come with abundant resources of language and culture, oftentimes several languages, each one. But many of you come with rich experience of walking with your shepherd throughout your professional life. How lovely if you were to become friends, to pray together, to serve together, and to welcome these other sheep. Please do talk to one of us afterwards or email focus@parkstreet.org. Now, let me close with a little catechism. I love catechisms. Question: who is this God who shows us and the nations his lavish hospitality? Answer: he is the God who so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Question: who is this Son? Friends, he is your shepherd. And when the wolves of worry and the thieves of joy lunged to devour you, he came and destroyed the works of the devil and set you free. Praise God, set me too free. Question: and how does he do this? The answer is simple, and the answer is brutal. Answer: when the wolf of hell attacked you, he took the blow in his body on the tree for you and for me. But that's not all. 3 days, 1, 2, 3, 3 days after they laid him in the tomb, he arose in the morning light with the angels singing, perhaps singing once more the song they sang when he was born. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all the families of the earth. Thank you. So the angels responded, but how are we going to respond? Now, as a response, let's gather around his feet and sing our own song here in the bulletin, a song of praise and a song of request, beseeching our magnificent God, and as the lyrics say, two things: to prepare our hearts, and two, to choose, see the lyrics there, to choose some of us as special heralds with the appropriate gifts and experience to mobilize and equip us to extend his lavish welcome to his other sheep. Let us sing together.